Sunday. That's the exciting part of it, isn't it? A few days ago, we were in mourning, right? And then today, we're celebrating. So good to see so many new people in church. So we're going to be talking about the cross, a place of victory. So this is the last part of the series that we've been doing on the cross. We're focusing on celebrating the victory over sin and death through the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. So I just want to give a bit of a recap before we start. On Friday, I spoke about how crucifixion was commonplace and that the Lord Jesus being crucified was not a new thing, or somebody being crucified was not a new thing. So the question was posed, what was so different about this crucifixion? And I highlighted that the difference was that there were some contradictions. The cross of Jesus Christ was full of contradictions. Number one, despite examining him and having found no basis for charges against him, they still said, we will punish him and then release him. Secondly, there was a contradiction in that the crowd preferred to release a murderer called Barabbas and keep as prisoner the Lord Jesus. The third contradiction was that despite a strong desire to release Jesus, the governor, Pontius Pilate, decided to grant the crowd their demand to crucify him. However, the greatest contradiction was that despite this being done in public, in broad daylight, the Roman soldiers, their accusers, you and I, did not get life in prison or the death sentence for this crime that was committed. Instead, we got, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And another thing that was so different about this crucifixion was that it was all part of God's plan. So on this Resurrection Sunday, we remember and celebrate the turning point as reflected in Matthew 28, verse 1 to 10. This is from the NIV. It says, after the Sabbath, at dawn, on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to look at the tomb. There was a violent earthquake, for an angel of the Lord came down from heaven and going to the tomb, rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning and his clothes were white as snow. The guards were so afraid of him that they shook and became like dead men. The angel said to the women, do not be afraid, for I know that you are looking for Jesus who was crucified. He is not here. He has risen, just as he said. Come and see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell the disciples he has risen from the dead and is going ahead of you in Galilee. There you will see him. Now I have told you. So the women hurried away from the tomb, afraid yet filled with joy, and ran to tell his disciples. Suddenly, Jesus met them. Greetings, he said. They came to him, clasped his feet, and worshipped him. Then Jesus said to them, do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee. There they will see me. We celebrate that he is not here. He has risen, meaning something has changed. There is a shift. You know, as I was reading about these women, I kind of felt for them. Because even though I've never seen, you know, a tomb with the stone rolled away, I've quite often lost things. I lose my keys a lot. And so I was imagining these women, knowing that they had seen, or they knew about Christ being buried, and they knew that the stone had been placed there. And I was imagining the puzzled look on their face, thinking, But this is where he was. That's what I do with my keys. I'm sure this is where I placed them. So you stand there for a while wondering what could have happened. And we hear in other translations that the angel asked the women, why do you look for the living among the dead? He's alive, meaning the past is in the past. Death has been conquered. Up to that point, the disciples were in mourning, just like we were thinking, we were reflecting on Friday. However, on this morning, this was no longer their focus. They were not in mourning because the stone had been rolled away. What I want to highlight, though, in this part of the scripture is these words. Just as he said. He's not here. He has risen, just as he said. Countless times in scripture, the Lord Jesus had outlined what would happen to him, how it would happen, by whom it would happen, for how long, and what would happen at the end of it all. He had outlined it all the way. So what comfort for his followers to know that if he said it, then it would happen. What we learn here is that when God speaks, he speaks with authority, and his word is final, and we can rest in that. His word is bond. There is integrity in his word. That's something to give us hope, just as he said. You know, sometimes we live a life full of confusion. We're looking for answers, but we can't find them. But we have the Bible. We have the scriptures. We have the word of God, which is just as he said. And so this morning, I just want to encourage you. If you're going through a situation where you're looking for answers and you feel like God is not speaking, or you feel like you're not sure about which way to go, remember, it is just as he said. Therefore, your job is to go and find out what did he say. Because we see through this experience that if he said it, it will happen. Just as he said. Not only do we celebrate that he's a man and God of his word that we can hang on to, we celebrate that we can now go and tell. In Matthew 28, it says in verse 7, then go quickly and tell his disciples he has risen from the dead and is going ahead. This was not a message for those people who had never heard the name of Jesus Christ. The women were not being sent to people who don't know Jesus Christ. They were being sent to his disciples. This was a message that was to be delivered to those who already believed, those who were already loyal to him, but had just a few days later started to grieve. Loss of their leader, loss of their teacher, their mentor. So this was about restoration of hope, restoration of souls. We hear David in the Psalms. It says, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. Hope came back into the picture. Because God is about restoration. God is about bringing back hope. And this is what these women were being given as an assignment. Not to go and just preach the gospel to people who don't know Christ, but to actually go back to the disciples and say, guess what? What he said has actually happened. But the purpose of that was partly to bring back that hope, bring them back from that place of discouragement. So this morning, if you are discouraged, I would like to encourage you with that God carries a message for you, even as a believer. It's not just about the people who don't know God. It is also about those who know him already, because he wants to restore something. The message was to be delivered with a sense of urgency, because it says, go quickly. Why? Because it was a time of revelation. Because his time had come, his hour had come, and now finally it was time for his glory to be revealed. All along, if you look at the scriptures, Jesus would say things like, my time has not yet come. My hour has not come. And now he's saying, go. Quickly. Because his hour had come. It was time to reveal. Because mission was now completed. There was no need to hold back. As we celebrate today, I wonder, who are you sent to go to and tell? The women at the tomb were sent to tell the disciples, the ones who needed to hear it. We are sent not only to encourage and remind his followers that he has risen, as he stated, but we have more to deliver to a world that does not know him. So our assignment is two-pronged. One is to those who don't know him, and the other is to those who do know him but need to be lifted up. The people that you're sitting next to, the person you're sitting next to, needs encouragement. It's human nature. Every now and then, we need to be lifted up, because we all know life can be difficult. We carry a message about him being the hope of a suffering world that is looking for answers, often in the wrong places. We celebrate that we can now freely worship. We can freely worship him. Matthew 28, verse 9 says, suddenly Jesus met them. Greetings, he said. They came to him, clasped his feet, and worshipped him. I imagine that these women were over the moon to be reunited with their Lord. They worshipped. You see, because after his body was laid in the tomb, it said that these women sat at the entrance, opposite the entrance of the tomb, possibly in shock, possibly wondering what's next. If you just want to imagine it, you've been spending days and days and days with this person. He's been teaching you. You've been sitting at his feet. You've been enjoying being in his presence. Then he's crucified. Then he's buried. It says they sat opposite the tomb. I can't imagine what this was like, but I know the feeling of feeling like someone is out of reach. And I'm imagining that's how it was like for them. I remember when I was about 8 years old, I think I've shared this before, I was about 8 years old and my mother left to go and study overseas. Well, yeah, overseas. This was back in Botswana. And I remember standing there while she walked, she was behind the glass and off she goes. I was inconsolable because this person who had been in my life for 8 years, all of a sudden was not available. I could not access her, at least not directly. And I'm sure you can relate. I'm sure you've had moments where this person who's been in your life all of a sudden is out of reach. Sometimes for a short time, sometimes permanently. But the point is, they're out of reach. Of the many things we could possibly worship in this world, and we have a propensity to want to worship things, we can never truly be satisfied until we give him our worship. Romans 6:10 says, the death he died to sin once for all. But the life he lives to God. In the same way, count yourselves dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. Even though we are dead to sin, we are alive to God in Christ Jesus. We live to worship him. because victory belongs to Jesus. We don't want this to be a morbid experience. We don't want to be stuck in his death. We want to actually just reflect on the fact that there is life. We are alive to God. For some of us, we're like dead men walking. He's given us freedom. He's given us life. But it's not reflected in how we live our lives. There is no celebration. You know, when Jesus said, when the women were told to go and tell that he is risen, they were essentially being told to go and invite people to celebrate something. Every time we're asked to go and tell, we're being told, invite people to experience Jesus. Invite people to celebrate the resurrection, to celebrate that the mission has been completed. Victory belongs to Jesus. Mark 16, verse 15 to 20 reads, he said to them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to all creation. Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved, but whoever does not believe will be condemned. And these signs will accompany those who believe. In my name, they will drive out demons. They will speak in new tongues. They will pick up snakes with their hands. And when they drink deadly poison, it will not hurt them at all. They will place their hands on sick people, and they will get well. After the Lord Jesus had spoken to them, he was taken up into heaven, and he sat at the right hand of God. Then the disciples went out and preached everywhere, and the Lord worked with them and confirmed his word by the signs that accompanied it. The instructions were very clear back then, and the instructions are very clear right now. Number one, we are to go. Some of us have never gone, whatever that looks like. And I say that because I know I've had times in my life where I was not going, meaning I was stuck. I was so focused on trying to figure out what is God's will for my life. What is God saying I should do? What does God want me to do year after year after year? But very clear, go, all of us, no exception. And then it says, in case you're wondering where you're meant to go, it says into all the world, into all the world. You see, sometimes we get confused thinking, am I meant to be in Perth? Am I meant to be in, am I meant to be in Botswana? That's where I'm from. Where am I meant to be? But you're not sent necessarily to a place. You are sent to a people. We are sent to a people. We all have different gifts. And the people that you're sent to might be the people in your office who are in need of something that God has equipped you. You see, I don't see myself going and ministering to a gang in Sydney or Melbourne. I think there are gangs in Perth, I'm not sure. But I don't see myself going into the gang. But some people can, because they have the gift, not of being a gang member, but they have had experiences that have set them up. So we all have something in us that God has placed that allows us to go into all the world. Then it says, preach the gospel to all creation. You don't have to feel like you're a preacher. Preaching the gospel is talking about that for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. That's it. Gospel preached. Love. It says signs will accompany those who believe. You know, it was interesting reading that scripture. It says, in my name, they'll drive out demons. I don't know if you're like me. When I read some scriptures, I look at that, I'm like, I've never driven out a demon. So does that scripture apply to me? Then you read the next one. They will speak in new tongues. And I'll be like, oh, yeah, I've done that. And then it says, in my name, they'll pick up snakes. I was like, no, that's not me. They will place their hands on sick people and they will get well. So I think sometimes it becomes confusing because you're like, yeah, I've seen them, you know, drive out demons. I've seen that one lay hands on the sick, and I've seen that one speak in tongues, and I've seen, and sometimes we confuse ourselves, and then we end up not doing anything. But remember, just as he said, if he said it, it is fact. It may not make sense to my natural mind, but if he said it, that's all I need to hear. And then it becomes about faith. It becomes about obedience. After the Lord Jesus had spoken to them, he was taken up into heaven and set at the right hand of God. And you know what he's doing there? He's interceding. He's speaking on our behalf. He's still doing it. That's how much he loves us. It was not enough that he died. It was not enough that he rose. He had to go back to the Father and sit at the right hand and intercede for us. So, victory belongs to Jesus. It says we'll pick up snakes. I was like, I don't see myself picking up a snake. You know, it's interesting. We've got Amy out there with the reptiles. I was wondering, is there snakes? I think there's snakes, so chances are I'm not going to go back there because I'm afraid of snakes. But snakes are very interesting. For some people, I have to share this. I once saw a picture. You know, my little one, when she was still going to daycare, they send you these pictures of how the day was. And I saw this picture of my daughter with a snake in her hands. I was horrified. I mean, I knew they were going to have a visit, but first of all, I was thinking, whose child is that? Because you'll never see me touching a snake. But snakes are interesting. For some people, they're just beautiful creatures, reptiles. For some people, especially if you're African, correct me if I'm wrong if you're African, snakes are, you run from snakes, right? They're just all sorts of things. They're not a nice pet. But I had this dream recently of a small child slowly and meticulously eating a snake that it had chopped up. And this child was demonstrating to me how it can be done. Then the child goes on to eat the eggs. You see, we are not meant to be afraid of evil because he's conquered it. We are meant, however, to be aware of the schemes of the devil. The way I interpreted this dream was that God was showing me, because I was the observer. God was showing me, and I believe he's showing you, about the ultimate deception. That we live in a world where the enemy has taken over. We live in a world where the enemy has allowed consumption. A little child should not be able to sit there comfortably with a snake chopped up and eat it. But we live in a world where evil has now been made available in bite-sized chunks, where it's palatable consumption of that which is of the enemy. And our job, you and I, is to know our position in Christ. In the dream, I looked away. And I felt God says, you have to look. You see, sometimes it's easier to look away from things that we don't understand, from the evil that's happening, from the devastation that is in the world. But God would say to you and I want you to look. Because only when you look will you be able to effect change. So for every single one of us, if you're a believer in Jesus Christ, I believe that God has you on assignment, not just to confess that he is Lord, not just to spread the gospel and the good news of the gospel, but also to confront evil. Also to show the world that victory belongs to Jesus. Please, let's stand. I shared the other dream of the snake I had, where I had a fight with a python. And then I chopped it up. And I heard the words, victory belongs to Jesus. So this morning, as we celebrate and say he is risen, whatever you take away from today, this one thing I pray you take away. That you are a soldier in the army of God. There's a scripture in Timothy that talks about that a soldier in the army of God does not concern himself with the ordinary. You see, I believe that one of the tricks of the enemy is to distract us. Do you know a lot of us as Christians, not necessarily you, spend so much time debating Bible versions, debating who wrote what, and we forget the message, which is that for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. That's the message. And so can we just close our eyes and just pray? And when I say pray, I'm not talking about just me praying. I'm talking about you as a soldier in the army of God, taking your position, standing in the authority, because you've been given authority to trample on snakes and scorpions. But so many of us are so discouraged. So many of us have been so beaten by life that we forget that we are giants that walk this earth. We forget that the Spirit of the living God is in us. And so this morning, as you celebrate that he is risen, may you stand in the authority that he has given you. Heavenly Father, I thank you for the work of the cross. I ask that as I pray, you also pray. Let us pray together. Whatever God leads you to pray. Father, we thank you that you've given us authority to trample on snakes and scorpions. We thank you, Father, that no weapon formed against us shall prosper. We thank you, Lord, that you have given us gifts. We thank you, Lord, that we are like giants that walk the earth. We thank you, Lord, that you have given us authority to call those things that are not as though they are. Father, I pray this morning that we would completely surrender to you, that we would completely surrender our pain, our grief, our discouragement. The voices in our head that say, who do you think you are? The voices in our head that say, you're not ready. You'll never be ready. You were made ready the moment you gave your life to Christ. Father, I pray for a godly wisdom. I pray for the church. I pray for the local church. Because the local church is the answer. You know, it says that Jesus wept because he had compassion. Father, I pray that you would break our hearts for what breaks yours. I pray that when we look at people in the streets, in the shops, in our workplace, that our hearts would break because they don't know who you are. When we look at people enjoying Easter eggs, but they don't know Jesus, that it would break our hearts. Break my heart for what breaks yours. I love that song. Father, I pray for every family that's represented here. That, Father, we may leave a legacy everywhere where we have been placed. That we may realize that we are game changers. Father, that you'd give us eyes to see and ears to hear and a heart to perceive. Father, that whatever you have established in heaven, may it be established on earth. Father, that we would not say, I am only a grasshopper. There are no grasshoppers in here. Only giants. Father, I pray that everyone in here would see themselves as a giant in faith. I pray that when you walk the streets of Perth, you would know that you are a faith giant, that you are not to be messed with. It's not about your physical size. It's about who you are in Christ. I thank you, Jesus. I'm going to leave it there, but if there's anyone who feels like there's a blockage, please come up and we will pray for you. Do not walk out here thinking that was a very nice message. We're not trying to preach nice messages. We're trying to preach transformational messages. If you have any prayer needs, whatever it is, please come and you get prayer. In Jesus' name, amen.